morning and welcome. My name is Barbara Howell and I am the board rep this morning. I will be making a few announcements before we start our service. There's just a few in the bulletin, but I have a few that have been left to me. The first one is that the Brewfest convention on July 17th at 1 o'clock p.m. will be here instead of at Eric's house. So if you are interested in renewing your interest in Brewfest, or if you decided after going to the last one you want to participate, in any case, especially I'll need some help with advertising, so anybody who wants to come is welcome. There is also the Adopt the Highway cleanup today after church. So if you are participating in that, meet at 11:45 and water bottles will be provided. And I think that's all for announcements. We invite you to greet those sitting around, please. If you are visiting us today, we particularly want to welcome you. Please sign the guest register out in the lobby. There's a variety of information out there that you're welcome to take with you. Help yourself to anything. If you are interested or have more questions about being a Unitarian Universalist or joining our church, I will be in the social hall after the service. If you are visiting with children today, we typically have the children leave after our offertory, but today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. They're going to be leaving right now, actually. So if you have children, please have them stand up, line up, go to the back. They're going to be going to the Bark River today. If you have a child who's not old enough to participate in this, we do have a nursery right outside. We always enjoy getting to know our guests, if any members have brought guests or guests have brought themselves. And if you feel comfortable introducing them or themselves, please stand up. We'd like to get to know you. All right, welcome. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion of the service. Please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service. And I hope you find this service inspiring. Our guest today is Ralph Zick, who is the executive director at the Hope Center. And like many of us, he started out as a volunteer. He volunteered some more, but he got roped into being the temporary executive director. And how long have you been doing it now?
2 years.
So temporary has become full-time. He's actually a retired sales manager, so 20-plus years. So this is really a second career for him. And all I have for this morning is Sir John.
Good morning. I have some opening words to put us in the right frame of mind for this morning, and they were written by Beth Wienicke. As we gather together this morning, may we learn to recognize and affirm the pieces of possibility, the pieces of good that we bring. May we encourage rather than control, love rather than possess, enable rather than envy, allowing our individual gifts to weave a patchwork of peace, the soft, deep blue of sensitivity and understanding, the red energy of creativity, the white heat of convictions, the risky, fragile green of new growth, the golden flashes of gratitude, and the warm rose of love. Each of us is indispensable if we are to minister to a broken and wounded world. Together, in our gathered diversity, we form the whole. So be it. Chalice lighting words as printed in the order of service as I light the chalice.
Thank you.
be an offering to sustain and strengthen this place, which is so sacred to so many of us, a community of memory and of hope, a community that pulls us together with our many shared values. And this week's offertory is to for the benefit of the food pantry of Waukesha County. And as written in your order of service, the loose cash donations will go to the food pantry. You can make checks out to LCUUC, which, if you've got some to go to the food pantry or to the church, just so it's clarified. And if you have any food contributions, we have baskets for that in the foyer as well. Thank you.
I'm Sheila Larkin and was with the church when it started for about 10 years, and I've been mostly absent for 5 years. I've been living in Lake Mills, and I just moved to Oconomowoc. So I'm anxious to meet new members, new friends, and to reacquaint with my old friends.
I'm Christy. If you could please light a candle of joy for my niece who was married on Friday night. And just great to have our whole family together, including our daughter Anna, who came to be present at the wedding as well.
I'm Liz. Liz, if you could light a candle of joy for a wedding. My little baby brother got married. I really like the girl. I've only met her twice, but she's a real sweetheart. Their choice of Charleston, South Carolina, outside, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, could have been a little wiser in my mind, but then I'm from Wisconsin, so. But they were so happy together. It just was a joy to watch their faces and the emotion, so that's my joy.
I'm Freya, and if you could please light a candle of concern and loss for me and my family. My brother died June 13th, and it was very sudden and very unexpected. But he did die in his sleep, so I don't think there was pain in his passing, so thank you.
Back in the late 50s, there was a song that some of you might remember. Annie had a baby. No? Annie had a baby? Well, in this case, it's our daughter-in-law, Annie, and our son Patrick that had a baby in June, and we want to celebrate and welcome Violet.
A great, great joy.
My name is Mike, and we didn't have joys and concerns on June 26th, so I want to light a candle of joy because June 26th was Bruce's and my third anniversary.
I'd like to light a candle of joy. I was in Nebraska last week to help my mom get from rehab back into her home after being 7 weeks in rehab, and it's a joy that she's back in her house again. And one last candle for the joys and concerns we keep in our hearts today. Our meditation words today were written by Linda Hoddy. Enter with me that still place within, the center, where we find not only our inmost selves, but also our connection to the farthest reaches of the universe. Here we confront our aspirations and our failings. Though we seek always for our lives to be full of goodness, we sometimes lack courage to right the injustices that confront us. Though we seek always to be generous, sometimes our fears cause us to be greedy. Though we seek always to walk the high moral ground, sometimes we judge others too quickly and too harshly. Though we seek always to understand the larger mysteries, sometimes doubt causes us to lose faith in our purpose. Here, in this space made sacred by our shared lives and our shared yearnings, may we find new courage, new generosity of spirit, forgiveness given and received, and rededication to the higher purposes of our lives. Let us take a moment of silence and thoughtfulness. this morning's reading, I found an article written by Dennis Culhane for the opinion pages of the Washington Post about homelessness. So here are three myths regarding homelessness, and it will be interesting to see how that compares with Ralph's experience at the Hope Center. The first myth is that homelessness is usually a long-term condition. To the contrary, the most common length of time that someone is homeless is 1 or 2 days, and half the people who enter the homeless shelter system will leave within 30 days, never to return. Long-term homelessness is relatively rare. Nearly all of the long-term homeless have tenuous family ties and some kind of disability, whether it is a drug or alcohol addiction, a mental illness, or a physical handicap. But while they make up a small share of the homeless population, they are disproportionately costly to society. They consume nearly 60% of the resources spent on emergency and transitional shelter for adults, and they occupy hospitals and jails at high rates. The second myth is most of the homeless have a severe mental illness. Because the relatively small number of people living on the streets who suffer from paranoia, delusions, and other mental disorders are very visible, they have come to stand for the entire homeless population, despite the fact that they are in the minority. In my own research, I have calculated that the rate of severe mental illness among the homeless, including families and children, is 13 to 15%. Among the much smaller group of single adults who are chronically homeless, however, the rate reaches 30 to 40%. For this population, and that's a small one, mental illness is clearly a barrier to exiting homelessness. But depending on a community's resources, having a severe mental illness may paradoxically protect against homelessness. Poor people with severe psychiatric disabilities may have more means of support than other people in poverty because they are eligible for a modest federal disability income, Medicaid, and housing and support services designed specifically for them. Not so for the other childless singles, including ex-convicts, people with drug addictions, and the able-bodied unemployed. That, to me, is the scary numbers that we see now, who make up the majority of the nation's population. The third myth is that homeless people don't work. According to a 2002 national study by the Urban Institute, about 45% of the homeless adults had worked in the past 30 days, only 14 percentage points lower than the employment rate for the general population last month. The number of working homeless would probably be even higher if off-the-books work was included. Whether scavenging for scrap metal or staffing shelters, many homeless people adopt ingenious methods and ways to subsist. A recent job loss is the second most common reason people say they become homeless. In a study my colleague and I are completing, we observe a deep drop in earned income in the year prior to the onset of homelessness. Interestingly, those people who return to work show a steep recovery in earned income 3 years after their initial homeless spell. Our preliminary data also suggests that about a third of the chronically homeless eventually end up working, thanks quite likely to substance abuse recovery. So those are three myths as understood by Dennis Culhane, and now from the Hope Center, here is Ralph Zick.
Thank you, John, and greetings to all of you. You just went through lighting candles for joy and concern, and I'm pleased that there is joy in this group that you have concern for other people. Hope Center is an organization that's a ministry dedicated to those in need in Waukesha County. And it's that need that today we see ever growing. Whether it's because of unemployment or because of disability
addiction through drugs or addiction to alcohol. John also mentioned mental deprivations. We see a lot of that, or a combination of those things, taking place every day. But our ministry is to serve those in need in Waukesha County, and exclusively that. We are basically a social service company. And I say company because we are a business, and we're running it as a business. Unfortunately, we don't have any income because we don't sell anything, we don't make anything, we just provide services. We rely on people like yourself, your congregations, foundations, some government subsidies, whatever we can do to raise funds to help support those in need. We are the number one agency for first call for help, which is dial 211, if you're familiar with that, where people can call, ask for services, ask for help. They don't know where to go. We get referred. About two-thirds of all the calls come to us. The main reason being is that we are a resource of many different services. I'll mention all of those in this presentation to you. All of the services within our organization are free. Okay, so nobody pays for anything, no matter what it is. And I think that's important to know, that people can come there knowing that they're going to be served one way or another without a financial obligation. We are a faith-based organization. Myself, I'm a Christian. I've been in this church when it was a Lutheran church. My church is St. John's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, and with a little church across from Elmbrook, if you don't know the location. But we have bigger hearts. Due to our faith, we do not discriminate, and I know that's part of your beliefs, in non-discrimination. We don't make judgments on anybody, people of every color, race, creed, origin, whatever, are allowed to come into our organization. We provide everybody with the same service. Also, we are not caseworkers. A lot of people think they come to us and they're going to be assigned to us. That's not our case, not what we do. We're not a caseworker, but we do try to find places where people can get services and then refer them to other places and or take care of them through our own resources. And I'll describe those as we get into this presentation. That just gives you a brief outline of what it is that's Hope Center. I've been involved with it for over 13 years as a volunteer. I started out just at a luncheon. My wife said, I think we ought to be able to do this. And I worked in Racine, so all my business, by the way, was done in Racine, not in Waukesha County. So I didn't know too much about the businesses or the people. But one thing led to another. We went to a fundraiser. My wife decided, she decides that for me because I don't want to make those decisions, that we become part of the fundraising, and we were going to do a silent auction committee. Within 2 weeks after meeting, we were running the entire fundraiser. And that has gone on for the last 13 years. So I've been pleased to be associated with this organization. It is absolutely wonderful. The items that we, or the programs that we have, I think are critical. The first thing that we have is we have a clothing shop in our building. 2 years ago when I took over, we were serving about 700 people a month in our clothing facility. Give you a perspective of what's happened in our society. Today, we are serving 4,000 people a month. Every month. We thought maybe it was a temporary thing last year, but it's now absolutely around 4,000 people every month. To date, we've served over 21,500 clients. So that's a half a year's work. That's up 36% over the previous year. So if everybody thinks it's getting better, the answer is no. And what it takes is the free clothing that's donated from yourselves and others. We sort that clothing. We have some ladies that have been doing this for 20, 25 years. It's what I call a labor of love. I don't know how they could go through all this clothing, but they do. We've distributed about 200,000 pieces of clothing already this year. And what all of the services that we have, John talked about homelessness. Our whole operation is to try to prevent homelessness, okay? We do take care of the homeless, and I'll mention that in a little bit. But our job is to prevent people from becoming homeless so that they can continue on in society and feel good about themselves. You know, the clothing shop actually defers some expense that they would have if they hadn't bought my clothing. They could rather save that money, have a meal, keep their families together, pay their rent, pay their utilities. So it's a tremendous service. We also are recognized in the area as having the best clothing around. St. Vincent de Paul charges, Goodwill charges for their clothing. But people come to us and say, we come here because you have the best clothing. So our gals that sort it out only pick out the top stuff that you bring in. Anything else that doesn't quite meet our standard is recycled to third world countries. So not one piece of clothing that comes in is ever thrown away. It's completely recycled. So we utilize everything that is brought into us. I always mention we have $5 dresses for women. We have $500 dresses for women. Because we have top-end shops in Brookfield that give us brand new clothing also to distribute. So it's wonderful. We allow 10 pieces of clothing per month per person. Now, most people don't take that much, but some people do, especially during the school season. One pair of underwear or one pair of socks a month. I don't know about you, but I can't live with one pair of underwear in a month, but that's all that we can afford to do, and we run out every week. I can get in 1,000 pair, and it'll be gone within a week. Just think about 4,000 people every month coming through the organization. If they take one pair, it takes 1,000 pair. So that's something we need. And through our ambassador, which is a representative from each congregation, they bring back that message to you as a congregation and say, could you do what we call an Undie Sunday drive? All right, collect some underwear. When you go to the store, you're walking by, just grab a pack of underwear. It doesn't cost any more to do that. And I know Diane is here. She works in our, there she is. She works at our clothing shop. She'll be able to tell you a little bit more how fast we go through the items that are brought in. So if that's in your wish list, when you go to the store, you want to help somebody, just grab a pack of underwear, throw it in. It's not going to kill your budget or anybody else's budget. So Undie Sunday is one of the more popular things that we do. Men's clothing is probably the hardest thing to get. Men do not share their clothing. All right. Ask any woman, they'll tell you, he wears it till it's no good. And they're right. So we don't have any. We had a full shelf. Beginning of the month, we had things stocked solid in our clothing shop. I went in there Friday, and the men's area was just absolutely stripped down to just a few items. And the other thing that's really of importance is men's jeans. We need men's jeans of all sizes. So those are things that you can do. Clean your closet. I have to do it myself and get that clothing in here because the people we serve need that. So I mentioned everything we do is to prevent homelessness. Clothing is one way. The second way is our meal program. We have a meal program at 5:30 in the evening, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And at Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, the Salvation Army does a meal in Waukesha. So there's a meal every night for the people that need it. The meal program is not necessarily designed for the homeless, again, although they are the biggest population we have. But we also serve those that are in, apartments or rooming houses. They don't have facilities for cooking. And if they do, they're going to go out and, maybe have to buy a meal from a fast food place. they can come and get a nutritious meal from us. Your garden out here, which is Lake Country Volunteers, provides vegetables and things that we can provide, nice salads and so on, for our guests. So we try to make all of our meals extremely healthy and nutritious. It also defrays the cost for those that are not homeless. Because, by the way, we do not ever give any money to homeless people. Okay? You may think that sounds cruel, but it's not. We provide all the services that they need while they're homeless. But those that, again, we're trying to prevent homelessness so they can, somebody can come in and get a meal. They don't have to buy it, or they have, again, they have no place to prepare it. It's a savior to them. I had some children come in that were fourth and fifth graders, and they said, well, wait a minute, don't they have a food pantry in town? Can't they get food there? Or don't they have food stamps? You know, we provide those. I'm sure they were taught that by their parents or by their teachers. And the answer to me, I'd always tell them is, think about yourself living in your bedroom. How are you going to keep your food fresh? How are you going to keep it refrigerated? How are you going to cook it? And I said, when you go back, the teachers now will be able to explain to you what that really means to have to live in a one-room apartment. Also on Sundays, there's a program called Loaves and Fishes, where congregations and other groups come together and make meals, prepare them, and serve them on Sunday afternoon. That'll be at 2:30, is usually when they serve it. That is not Hope Center's meal, but we provide the facility for them to do it. So there is a meal every day in Waukesha for people that need it. Again, the sad part about that is, to date, we have served 4,600 meals. That's a half a year's. 270 are children. 737 are individuals that come. Now, that doesn't mean everybody comes every day, but those are individuals that have come at one time or another up through the year. And that number will double by the time we get to the end of the year. The cost of doing this is around, for us, about $4 a meal. That's what it costs us to do it. That money comes either through donations, through a fundraising effort, through individual contributions, caterers, other businesses that will provide us leftover food, organizations that have, you know, chicken fries and things like that also provide it. So our donations of food, if I took it and made the retail value to date, is around $70,000. So keep in mind, you don't think of what a meal costs, but if you sat down and thought of what it takes to feed your family in a meal, that's what we're doing to about 85 to 100 people every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And by the way, that's up almost 50% from a year ago. So again, the needs continue to increase every single month within our organization. We can tell you this, that also we're very good stewards of the money that's donated to us. We've been doing this with less money today than we did 2 years ago. Eric Larson is a board member. He sees the numbers. He knows. We thank you, Eric, for sharing with us your talents and your skills. But our whole idea is to provide the best service we can, making a dollar go as far as we can. And I think we've accomplished that. We welcome you individually to come anytime and visit our facility to see what we do. Those are two of our major programs. The other program is our day drop-in shelter. And this is where we really hit the homeless. The homeless are, you know, wander around, and today they sleep outside. In the winter, we work with another organization called Hebron House of Hospitality and the Salvation Army to try to find shelter for gentlemen and ladies. And there are ladies, yes, and there are families, by the way, for those winter months. Which is becoming more of a problem. Nobody wants homeless in their area. But we elected to have a day drop-in shelter. That has grown from about 20 people a day to around 45. as they came into us, people saw the need and started to bring in food, breakfasts, and lunches, to the point where it became almost a staple. So not only do we serve our evening meal, we now serve a meal for breakfast and for lunch. And our average has been over 45 people for each of those meals. Again, mostly homeless, but then again, it has become a social place for those that have limited resources. Again, live in a roomy house, a one-room place, or they have mental problems, and it's a social place now for them to gather. So we've added a little bit more to our just caring for those that are in a drop-in shelter. The library has told us that it's been a wonderful addition to have a drop-in shelter because they're no longer hanging around the library, Weather Transit Center, or the downtown businesses, because that's what they would do and cause, you know, a commotion, a disturbance. Say what you want. Most of the homeless are not very sightly. And, you know, it causes a distraction for the businesses. So we've been very pleased to be able to accommodate them. The difference between a drop-in shelter and an overnight shelter is that an overnight shelter, they come in at 7, they stay till 7 in the morning. If they go out for any reason, they have a cigarette or whatever, they cannot come back in. In a day drop-in shelter that we have no lock-up time. People are free to come in and out. That has some difficulties at times because many of our homeless are alcoholics and they cannot live without their drinks or their drug abusers, so we have to watch that very carefully. It's very difficult. We tried to do that with volunteers to control it and found out that we had to have paid staff to be on guard at all times to protect not only our interests but the interests of our guests, our other guests that are there. Many of our people are recovering alcoholics or drug abusers, and they feel it to be a very safe place to come to feel comfortable and to support their requirement to get out of a drug addiction or alcohol. We've had some pastors who've come in and said, we'd like to just have a Bible study here, or we'd like to have a social gathering. And so we don't proselytize at Hope Center, but we have allowed them to come in and just set up whatever they want to do. We've got a drug program that'll start next week where people have asked for help. And so we've set up, it's called One Step. And after announcing it, two more people step forward. And we look at it this way, we could help one person a day. That would be, it's a tremendous accomplishment because it's very difficult to get people off of their drugs and alcohol. Enough said, but I'll be out available afterwards to talk to you if you wish. Another program we have is called Project Move. And that's something we started a year ago, or restarted, I should say, where we take in used furniture, again, gently used, sofas, chairs, tables, lamps, appliances, and then we redistribute it to those in need. So far this year, we have made over 934 deliveries, which is twice what it was last year when we only did a half a year when we got started. And the increase is phenomenal. There are so many more people looking for items. And again, I talked about preventing homelessness, and this is another way to save monies that these people can now use to stay in their homes to pay their rent and their utilities. So it's a great service. The only thing that we really need is more people to volunteer to come and help move that furniture or those sofas, get them redistributed to other places. We started with 17 individual organizations, some congregations, some civic groups. We now have about 25 different groups that are moving. We did it only on Saturday mornings, but now we've moved to other times during the week, whenever we can get people to do it. So it's become quite a another project that's successful in helping to prevent homelessness. It also helps the people that come out of, let's say, some type of incarceration or rehab to get them started. I remember a year ago, just as a point of view, there was a big fire in Waukesha that burned out 29 of 30 homes. Apartments, it was a big apartment building up on a hill. And those were all people that were on some kind of subsidy. So they had nothing. We were the agency right there behind the Red Cross, where they could provide some immediate blankets and a little bit of food and a couple dollars. We were there to provide furniture, household items, those sort of things, to get people back into their society. So Project Move is a very, very big now part of our ministry. And it's just, as I said, 1 year old. I was fortunate, the church that I belong to, people in Brookfield never thought that there was a need for serving anybody. They never heard of poor people in Waukesha County being one of the wealthiest counties in the state and in the United States. But until I got them physically down to see what we do every day, and this is when I was still a volunteer, their hearts were open and their pocketbooks were open and their checkbooks were signing checks for us. And they came out and then had a program and dedicated to building a garage for us, which is a very large garage. And they not only built it, but they paid for it. So we were very pleased. Otherwise, our Project Move would never be able to work. You've got to have a place to put things as you move them from pickup to delivery. The other things that we do, a major proportion is we are a social ministry. We have a social minister on staff that reviews everybody, talks to everybody, gives them an opportunity to look for a better future. We always say we've got the little sun, if you saw our symbol, that's Hope Center, there's a sun coming through hope. And that's what we really believe in, that there's a brighter day ahead. If you come and visit us and you're in need, we're going to help you find a resolution or something to your situation. Not only that, and I will speed this up, John. I mean, I could talk for 2 hours, so I'm sorry. Some instances, we had a homeless man who this year was living under a railroad car, and it was like 20 degrees, and he was not allowed in the shelters because he had been ousted. It was a drinking problem, and he couldn't live without drinking alcohol. So he was banned from other shelters. He's living under a boxcar. He developed pneumonia, and we were able to find him. He could barely move. We got him into the hospital, got him taken care of through our social minister. But first off, in order to get him in, we had to find ways to have him be accepted. So we put him up in a motel for 2 nights and then found a rooming house that he could go to once he became well. And through our social ministry funds, the monies that you would contribute to us, as a matter of fact, one of your parishioners donated a memorial to his son, and we've used a lot of that money to help find a place and pay for this man to get into a rooming house. So a very good success story. We have another one to prevent homelessness. There was a man who was unemployed, and his unemployment ran out. He was trying to find a job, and he still couldn't do it. He lived in a rooming house paid by the week, and he was like four weeks behind in his rent. The owner said, "You're out. You have to get out." He had no place to go. He had no job. He had lived there for like over 3 years, but he still had to have something. So our social ministry program was able to fund them and provide a help to pay his back 3 weeks' rent that was due. And the landlord allowed him to stay. So again, using the resources where it's really needed. No money, by the way, also goes to individuals. All the money that we ever distribute goes to whatever that need is. If it's the landlord, it goes to the landlord. If it's for medical supplies of some sort, it goes to Walgreens or to CVS or whatever. And also, this gentleman now is a regular member of our meal program. He comes in and he's so grateful. Now he is working, and every week he comes in and brings a $5 bill and puts it on the counter and says thank you, which I think is really kind of neat to think that kind of success story has taken place. I've got another homeless mother. She had an 18-month-old. She was going to have a baby. She had no place to go. Her family had abandoned her, the place where she was staying. She was no longer wanted. She was receiving W-2, but she wouldn't get that until after the baby was born. So we were able to take, and this is a recent one, we were able to get an apartment on June 30th, helped her with the security deposit and the first week's rent. If not, when she had that baby, she would have lost her children. They would have been taken away from her because you must have a place to live. So again, and this was like, I'm going to say $75 for the security deposit and $85 to get her settled. And that kept her family together. And we do this all through the social ministry. I've got many, many stories I could tell you, and I'd be happy to share those later. But I better move on. A couple other things we do, we have community events. Right now there are some drugs and gangs working in the streets in Waukesha. You may have read about some of it in the newspaper. We're working very hard with other churches to try to take back the streets. We do this through picnics. There's a program called Camp Intersect, which just completed its first week. It started with 10 people on Monday, and it ended up with 50-some people on Friday. And I think when they have the next one in August, that there will be probably twice that number of people there. And the intent there is to try to get these people, along with the parents, out of their houses. If they take back the streets, these dealers will abandon because they don't want to be seen, as well as eliminate the sale of drugs. We also do community picnics at Frame Park and at Cutler Park. A lot of times we're not the primary mover, as we kind of lay in the background, but we support all of these programs and provide either some food or service to pull them off. And the idea is to get communities together. 2 years ago, we did the Operation Homefront for the soldiers who were fighting in Afghanistan, and we collected well over 12,000 care packages for the troops from just Waukesha alone. Those are kinds of things that we do. We have our fundraisers. We just had a beer and wine tasting party just as a fundraiser, which was quite successful. Next week we have a golf outing at Western Lakes, so if you like to golf, it's $100. It's a lot of fun. We're looking for foursomes to join in with that. We're going to have a walk in October. We have another first time we're going to try that. Our intent is to try to reach different people in different age groups with different needs. So our biggest fundraiser, however, is the week before Thanksgiving on a Thursday. And it's called HOPE, Helping Other People Every Day. And that's our biggest fundraiser for the year. We do it on a Thursday, the week before Thanksgiving, so that people get the flavor of what they're going to do when they have their own Thanksgiving. The other things that take place, for instance, in our day shelter, we help people with job mentoring. We have computers for them to do job searches or room searches or cell phones that they can make calls to get services that they need. For instance, if you call Washington for some services, Washington, D.C., the government, it's an hour always to wait to make a connection. If you hang up, you start all over. And so we try to provide all of those things to help people move forward. We give financial assistance, as I mentioned, once a year, money. It doesn't matter if we're doing it as a gas card for somebody who's finding a job or just got a job and doesn't have adequate funds to make its first paycheck. If they need medical supplies, we'll take care of that. I mentioned the Lake Country Volunteers, which are doing the garden here. Hope Center also has a garden itself on the south side of Waukesha called Green Power Garden. And you can read about all of that in our website. How can you help? The main thing is that you care about people who are in need. And I know by just reading your bulletin today, the back page is covered with the fact that you do have concerns and do take care and look for serving people in need. Commitment is the other term. John and I talked about commitments earlier today. We don't look for volunteers anymore, and that seems strange. We have about 830 volunteers active in our organization, but today it's commitment. If I'm serving 4,000 people a month in a clothing shop, if we don't have committed people like Diane to be there every day, we can't provide the service to those people. And some days they're lined up in the hallway waiting to get in to be served. And so we need people committed to be there every week when they're assigned, just like it was a job. And we have been most fortunate to have that success. I mentioned our ambassador. As we do ambassadors, bring back the needs to your congregation. Right now, our Project Move, as I said, is what is our biggest need. People that could help to move it. We have our own trucks. We pick up. We look at the furniture. We look at the appliances. If they're working, we'll take them. And if they're, you know, full of dog hair or cat fur or whatever, then we can't take that because of the potential allergy situation. But we need more people that could help us at different times during the week. The financial support. We got an old building of different needs. We need a new roof. We got to work on a floor in our kitchen, which is wearing out, our dining area. We also have administrative costs, which go on every single day. We got to pay rent, the lights, a few salaries. So there's always a need. Regular giving, memorial giving, all of that helps us to move forward. And I will guarantee you that we will be the best stewards of your money or of anything else that you give to us to help prevent homelessness. That's our main goal. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to share this with you. I'm sorry for taking so much of your time. But if you need more information, stop and see me or come and see us, because we'd love to share with you what we do. Good. Thank you very much.
Closing hymn is number 131 in your hymnal, and please rise as you're willing and able. Share. We've got microphones just like for the Joys and Concerns, and we welcome any feedback. And Ralph said also that if anybody had any questions about the Hope Center, that he would entertain questions.
I have a closet that's ridiculous. My mom passes all her clothes down to me, and some I like and some I don't. So I definitely clean out my closet. Where are you located, or are there any drop-off spots in closer to this area?
I go to Northeast Avenue.
Okay.
In Waukesha. We're right downtown. You know where the post office is. If you look out the post office door, you can see us across the railroad tracks.
Can I get an address? I don't know where the post office is in Waukesha.
I go to East Avenue. It's Northeast Avenue. Three blocks north of Carroll University.
There's also a website, Ralph. Is there a map on your website?
Map on the website, yes. Please come.
We did have a box here, too, right? Bring that up.
Yeah, in the fall, we collected something like 15 giant bags of clothing. I've got a question. I know you like to get money, but in what form? I'm sure that you're not really particular, but if you had the choice, would you would it help you more to get a check to a specific program at the Hope Center or to Hope Center and then you decide where you need it?
Number one, we'll take it any way we can. Use it the way you want to designate it. Of course, a general contribution is easier because we need, no matter what, even if we dedicate it to, let's say, social ministry or rent assistance, it costs us money to distribute that money, okay? And we're stewards that say, if you say it's going to be rent assistance, 100% will go for that. But it still costs us so much, let's say 50 cents of, not 50, 20% of that to administer. So we do prefer if it just comes to us in general, and then we can reallocate it to where the immediate need is. But we take either which way, it doesn't matter.
I'm Diane.
I would be glad to pick up clothing from just about anywhere. I don't really want to go down to Racine, but I have a big van and all the time in the world, so I pick it up from here when we put them in our Hope Center bins, and otherwise you could bring it to my house, I can come to your house, and I'll take it down when I go to do my volunteering, which I also wanted to mention that when you see the smiles of gratitude on these people's faces, I could cry. The children are so thrilled with their pretty new shoes that we get boxes of new ones from Walmart, cute sandals. And it just is so gratifying to see these people's gratitude.
They don't last long either. When they're on the shelf, they're gone.
My name is Robin Reed, and I was the one whose son died, and we took the money from the memorial and put it into Hope Center. And it was a real revelation to me what we could do with that money. And it wasn't my money, actually, so I had to make up for it afterwards and contribute an amount comparable on my own, but when we contributed, then we got back letters of thank you, and it just brings tears to my eyes, some of the things that happened. And I recommend this path for anyone who wants to feel good about themselves. So.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Mark. Jim and I help out with Project Move, and if you haven't noticed, Jim and I's hair is getting a little gray, so It'd be great if anybody wants to volunteer their 25-year-old, 20-year-old sons to kind of help. We could use more of those types of folks hauling furniture upstairs to apartments, and it's a great feeling when you bring furniture to somebody who doesn't have anything and watch the smile on their face. And it's like Christmas. So
I think that's the biggest thing we do is when you give. You see what who receives it, how they react to it. And it's just wonderful. Keep in mind, everything we have is not ours. We're only here for a short time. So everything we have, we pass through. We're just the means to do it.
I understand that as being the goal of relocating homeless people. And I might have missed it. I understood the story about the man who was under the train track or the train car. Where do homeless people generally stay overnight in Waukesha County, and where do they stay in the wintertime as a homeless?
We try not to tell anybody where they are.
Okay.
Because not all of the law enforcement is
sensitive to it.
Is pleased to have them around. But they are in the parks, and they are on the bridges, and they are on the boxcars. The gentleman we referred to, fortunately, we've got him stable and got him on rehab. He's doing well. In the winter, it's a big fight to try to find a place for what we call emergency overflow shelter.
There is no connection between churches in Waukesha for shelter?
The problem is you have to be licensed.
Oh, you do?
Yes, ma'am. That's where the thought is. Hebron House and Hospitality is a licensed agency that does do that, and we work with them very close. Find a way to find a shelter for the winter months. And that's usually mid-November to end of April. And this year, we couldn't get anybody in until mid-December. And if you remember how cold it was and windy, these people, if you saw them when they come in the morning, because we will open up at 8, we'll be open up at 7. If you see their faces, the condition they're in, it's miserable. So we do what we can. But day standby, but at night, unless we get the plan commission to approve a location, there's nothing. There's nobody wants it. We put it. We have a building, and it's okay. It's licensed. It's ready. The neighbors come and say, "We don't want the homeless," and they'll fight every which way you can imagine. But I might add that homeless people are the easiest in a way to deal with the alcohol and the drugs. Are a problem because they lose track of what they really should be doing. But they don't really want to be seen by you or by the police. They will avoid that contact. Okay? They want to be left alone in their own private world. And so if you're in a neighborhood where the homeless people walk by, they're going to keep walking by. They are really not going to stop in front of you. But we have a problem.
I wanted to mention, I think we kind of threw Ralph for a loop. I stopped and talked to him in his office the other day when he was first asked to come speak at our church. He does a lot of speaking around a lot of churches, but I think we might be the first time he was asked to give the sermon. I think we're a little unusual that way. But I want to thank Ralph for coming and giving the talk that he did. And as an explanation, Ralph, and I think that the common element of all the services that have been held in this church, when it's Lutheran and in between and then us, is love. And I think love is an active thing and something that you can see. And I really see it in the things you do, Ralph. And I take you as a role model. I hope that more of us could demonstrate our faith that way and our love for one another. So thank you.
Hello. How many families are now homeless in Waukesha? Families. I mean, and the other question is, I know you hear and read about families living in cars. I know I had them myself because I was a school administrator. Do they actually take the children away if the parents get sick or something, and that's how they find out about it?
Yes. If they can't care for them and do not have a place to live, the government can't take the children.
But how many are homeless now?
I don't know that I can give you an accurate count, but I would say you're in the 24 range right now. Yeah, Bernie would know better than La Viva House, because they actually have the housing. We do not. Remember, we're just dropping, so we see people coming from. But we're seeing people now bringing in little children, you know, to have a place to go. I've gone many times. Last winter, I was speaking at a Baptist church. It was a stormy, windy day. I came back to Hope Center just to put my supplies away. There were two cars there with families living. The wind's blowing, and there's a blizzard. It was just absolutely miserable. So we opened up and said, come on in and warm up. But it's very embarrassing for most of the people. They don't want to be in this situation. It's just a temporary thing. And that's why, also, when we give a financial assistance, let's say it's once a year, we try to make sure that when we give, let's say a $300 or $400 check to help get them in a house or stay in a home, that there's some sustainability on their part, that it's only a very temporary thing that they can get back in. If there is no hope to stay in a place, then we try to send them to other services to recover.
One last comment, maybe? We're kind of running out of time.
I'm Jerry. I'd just like to put in a plug for the Outreach Meal Program. I know this church has been part of that program, I think, about as long as we've been organized as a church. And so we, along with dozens of other churches in Waukesha County, are serving these meals. We serve meals four times a year, I believe, is what it is. At the Hope Center. And I believe Dave Cicero is the one who's been organizing our effort. So for those of you who haven't participated in this, it really is a wonderful experience seeing how the effort that we can make to help folks in Waukesha County, and help Chef Gordon over there distribute his wonderful food. It's a great experience, and if you haven't done it, give it a try.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for me as well, Ralph, for enlightening us on your organization.
I have some brochures out in the cafeteria area.
For the social hall, yeah.
Social hall.
Got a table set up there.
And also some published sheets of needs that we have. And I know the list is huge, but it's real. Thank you.
I've got some closing words here today. These are from Richard Gilbert. As we leave this community of the Spirit, may we remember the difficult lesson that each day offers more things than we can do. May we do what needs to be done, postpone what does not, and be at peace with what we can be and do. Therefore, may we learn to separate that which matters most and that which matters least of all.